Jesus said, "I'm telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. They will not follow someone else. Instead, they will run away from such a person because they do not know his voice." Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he meant. So do you understand it? Do I understand it fully? If we can have the PowerPoint up, that would be great. I'm going to switch this on, Anne, sorry. I said last week that the aim for this year, as we're thinking about the Jesus we never knew, really is for each of us, individually and together, to become better friends with Jesus. And that is the real Jesus, not the Jesus of sentiment or other people's invention. And to be able to get to know Jesus better, we need to be able to recognize and follow his voice. And that is a developing relationship. It can come to a stop where we forget what the voice of Jesus is like, but it's a developing relationship. There is a need, we acknowledge, to get to know the historic Jesus, but also to get to know Jesus experientially in the now, in our everyday lives, and I mean our everyday lives. I don't mean once a week. I don't mean when you have a really uplifting spiritual experience once in a decade. I mean in the everyday, because Jesus is certainly speaking. In knowing Jesus, we get to know the Father God and the Holy Spirit, who are one. And that just trips off our tongue. The greatest privilege that humanity can have is to know God. It's for this that we were created. And it's through Jesus, as this passage clearly says, that we enter into relationship with the living God. It's through Jesus that we are enabled to worship and to enjoy God. Do you enjoy God? And does he enjoy your presence every single day? We started last week, as we think about the Jesus we need to know, to love, and to follow, is the significant claim of Jesus. People came to Jesus asking all sorts of questions. We come to Jesus asking all sorts of questions. The trouble is, very often we don't wait for the answers. But we have loads of questions, but do we stay long enough to hear the answers? So one person came to him, the rich young ruler, asking how they might gain eternal life. Not when they die, but in life, how they may have that quality of life. And Jesus said definitively, eternal life means knowing the only true God, there is only one God, and knowing Jesus Christ who you sent. And he was looking up to heaven as he said that. It's to do with knowing, it's to do with being in relationship, not knowing about, but knowing God. And that begins now, eternal life. It is not just for when we die. I believe the way we know Jesus in this life will in fact continue into the next. Eternal life, knowing God, is not just about doing religious things or serving others, important as those things may be. It's about a relationship with God, out of which many things, many fruits will spring. I am increasingly concerned. One thing that concerns me about London is the pace of life, and that there is very, very little time for people to know their neighbour and to know God and reflect on their own lives and where it's going. It's not enough to know the facts about Jesus. That will never satisfy the human heart, and it will never satisfy God's heart. And that is what we should be concerned about. We can choose to respond to Jesus. We can choose to receive him and actively believe and trust in him. Or we can choose to see Jesus as insignificant and unimportant. And those are the people I want to communicate with that don't yet know the love that Jesus has for them, the love that God has for them, and that life was never intended to be lived without this intimate relationship with God. That must be in our heart. Our own relationship with Jesus and the relationship of other people. Jesus came in such a way into the world as Son of Man and fully human that we can approach God through Jesus. He is truly the way and the way to fullness of life, the way to eternal life. And that needs to be discovered in our day and generation. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. We pause to pray. Lord, we pray that we may, with God's grace, come to know Jesus deeply and intimately, and so love him and be enabled to follow him. We pray for the grace to know the voice of Jesus and to follow as he leads us out. Amen. And perhaps we also pray for the grace to enable others to know and follow the voice of Jesus only. So our Sunday school teachers, our youth leaders at the moment, long for nothing more than for those youngsters to know, to love, and to follow Jesus. That is the best that we can long for them. Jesus in this passage talks about being the good shepherd, and you can read further on. And particularly we're going to focus on this idea of knowing and loving and following the voice of Jesus. And you'll see that our worship songs have talked about the word of God. They've been declaring truths about hearing God speak. For hundreds, if not thousands, and in fact it is thousands of years, God's relationship with his people has been described as that of the relationship of the shepherd with his sheep. Now, for many of us, that's a very strange idea. But for others, it isn't. We will, in our childhood, have seen sheep being led. And it is not a strange idea, but it's an idea that we need to get a grasp of because of the truth that that figure, that metaphor actually describes. It's surely talking about God's faithfulness in relationship, but also that faithfulness is matched by the exact opposite tendency, unfaithfulness, in us. Sheep tend to stray. Sheep tend to get into danger. Sheep tend not to be able to find their way home. They're not actually very bright. You might think that's a bit sheepish, but there you go. They're not the brightest of animals. They may be lovely, they may whatever, but they're not the brightest. And nor are we as God's people. We do not always choose what is good, let alone what is best. The shepherd is pictured as the one who has to go looking for the lost sheep, for every single human being who is lost. And those sheep don't necessarily want to be found. They're sometimes quite happy where they are. We're thinking about knowing God deeply and intimately through Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is to know God. And throughout the whole of Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we've said relationship with God is described in the deepest and closest of terms. It is not a formal, transactional relationship. So there are descriptions of God as our family. And the Father, the Son, and the Spirit as family. Descriptions of God as Father and being like a mother. Descriptions of God as lover and husband. And you don't get much more intimate than that. And Jesus as brother and friend. These descriptions are used. They're in our songs, they're in our psalms, they're in our prayer language. And yet I wonder if we stop and experience God in those ways. here, the figure, the metaphor used, is of the shepherd and the sheep. And we see the disciples didn't necessarily understand the points that Jesus was making, as he claims to be the good shepherd. Yet they should have immediately, in a way, the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh is my shepherd, started to realize and understand what was being said. But they also didn't really understand the implications of what he was saying and stop and think about it. Of course they did with time, because as they began to appoint pastors in the church, and you have Peter's experience about being told that he needs to shepherd the flock, and then Peter later writing about it in Ephesians, they began to realize the importance of that shepherd relationship. The New Good News translation talks about a parable. That's not really the best use of the word. The word is paramia, and it actually means like a maxim, a byword, a proverb, a figurative way of speaking. He's describing something to them. And he says these things, Jesus, to us, and I'd really like you to hear them to you individually and to us as a people. Jesus calls his sheep by name, so he knows your name. That's terribly important. Jane, Pauline, Tokes, Balaji, Christabel, Lillian. He knows us by name. We know that he brands or tattoos his name on his hand. He knows me by name. You could stop for an hour, lie on your back, and just think about that. Just relish it. Just remember it. Just rejoice on those days which are really grim. Even at the start of every day, if you said, Jesus, do you know my name? Yes, Jane, I know your name. Do you remember my name? Just actually hear the voice of the Lord saying it to you. Not just that it's there in God's word, which is vital, there and established, and the church has accepted it, but hear the Lord say it to you. It would do you good. It does me good. It's wonderful. His sheep know his voice. Do we? How often do we listen to his voice? Can you remember what he said? I'm sure you can. You probably have written down some of the most precious things, haven't you? He calls us. Come out. I'm leading you out today. You think you're staying in the fold? Sorry, guys, you won't get any food in there. You know, you won't get any food in there. I'm calling you out. I'm leading you out. He calls us out. And we recognize his voice. And do we? In all the clamor, all the advice, Pauline and somebody else mentioned it, all the voices we've got shouting at us through social media, through adverts, through it, we have so many voices that actually recognizing and stopping and listening to the voice of Jesus. Shall I tell you something? If you're not listening to the voice of Jesus, I want to say this, you cannot follow. You cannot follow, because the way Jesus leads is by his voice. You can follow a list of rules. You can say, oh, that's my life's course, I'm going that way. But if you are not hearing the voice of Jesus, if I'm not hearing the voice of Jesus, I'm not following. Now, I take Becca's points, there are times sometimes of silence that you may think, am I not hearing the voice? And that's the time to say to the Lord, why am I not hearing your voice? You've promised I will hear your voice. There are those times. But do we give God the time to speak? And do we remember? All this that Jesus is saying about relationship that can be very, very special, but it's set against this much bigger understanding, these few verses, of the Lord God being my shepherd, being our shepherd, and us having everything we need. That means everything we need. Everything we need, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and hopefully enough physically. Having everything I need is in Jesus. That is an amazing statement. And that is what we're saying to the world. That's why we're saying it's worth you considering Jesus. He already loves you. It's with that conviction that we go out, not just because we've been told to evangelize, but because we have got the good news. We have, you and I, a special relationship with the same shepherd. And so, therefore, we are in a special relationship with one another because we each know the voice of Jesus. We are the one flock with God's people throughout all the nations. We are the one flock. And also, we can move together. God can speak to us. And that's what we will seek at this time. And in our members' meeting and at other times as we pray, to move together. We are one flock, it says in verse 16. So, in Scripture and in history, this figurative use of the shepherd and the sheep relationship is important. It's also used of rulers and their subjects. So David was a shepherd king, not just because he had been a shepherd, but because he protected and lovingly cared for his people, Israel. And he'd learnt that in the workplace. He had learnt that in the workplace, what it was to defend against lion and bear. He had learnt that. And Jesus was another king like David, but the greatest shepherd king who cares and protects. He is the shepherd king, Jesus. So he is not someone who just throws his weight around and his power around. He is a shepherd king. And within the church, the metaphor is used of spiritual overseers, of pastors, of bishops and shepherds. And God gives human under-shepherds and pastors to his people, to the flock of disciples. But we need to be hearing that voice of Jesus. In the Old Testament, and I'm not going to look at the verses, you have pictures of true and good shepherds, and you have pictures of false and exploitative shepherds that fleece the flock. But Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. You are my sheep. Don't know how you feel about being a sheep. But he's saying the relationship of care and protection is such that we need him. And he's at such pains to say that he's the good shepherd, the true shepherd, because they had experienced bad shepherds. The scribes and the Pharisees had exploited them. The temple worship was exploitative. And here he is coming as the true shepherd. And we know when Jesus viewed the crowds, he had compassion on them. Can somebody tell us why? Let's see who's awake. Why did he have compassion on the crowds? Think of your sheep shepherds, Beth.
So they're like sheep.
Right, he used this picture. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And he didn't just mean the Gentiles. He meant the people of Israel. Their relationship with God as shepherd was damaged, was broken, was warped. And so he had compassion. He had love. And Jesus is saying, I can be the true shepherd to you. I'm not a hireling. I care about you. I care so much, I will lay down my life for you, and that is what I'm going to do. I will resist evil, and I will lay down my life for you, so that you are protected from yourselves, and so that you are protected when you stray into danger. So shepherds used their rod and the staff for various things, but if they had a curve at the end of their staff, they often oiked the sheep out of the water. If they'd gone too near the edge for the lush grass, they oiked them out, or if they got stuck in the rocks. They used the end of their staff to gently comfort and prod the sheep to get them back on the right way. And they used the rod, which was a club. If the sheep, people were attacking them, wolves or rustlers or snakes or lions, then the club was used. And their club to the shepherd was so valuable. They took a branch right down to the roots and cut it out with the rounded bit and shaped it and formed it. And it never left their hand because danger could come at any time. And Jesus is saying, my rod, my staff will comfort you. They will direct your path. They will rescue you. I will take you to the place where you can rest. I will take you to the place where you can feed. I will take you through the darkest valley. I will be with you. You will never be on your own. Please hear that. Hear the Lord say it to you. It means nothing if I say to you almost, Jesus says this. But if you hear the Lord saying it to you, it means everything. If you have a chance to read Philip Keller's The Shepherd Trilogy, I really recommend it to you. Shepherd in Kenya, Child of Missionaries, who just explains so much more than we can understand, those of us who are urbanites. The voice of Jesus, we could say much more about the general, but loving and following Jesus because we recognise his voice. And it's something, it doesn't happen overnight, does it? I don't know how long you've known the Lord, but it takes time. And when you're a young Christian, when you're first born again, you're first committed to following Jesus, it's thrilling and it's exciting and you can hardly put your Bible down. But also, as we go, we begin to hear the Lord in prayer. And we say it 1,000 times. Prayer is not just speaking, it's listening. So that when Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" we can ask Jesus the same question. Do you love me? How do I recognize his voice? I put here, he was with me at my birth. So Jesus was there when I was born with my mother. Jesus formed me and Jesus was with me at my birth, my water birth. And Jesus was also with me at my spiritual birth. Even if you don't know the exact time or moment, even if you grew up and you discovered the love of God, Jesus was with me. Through the Spirit, he enabled that and is within me. And therefore, the Word of God is in my life. And it's the Word of God in me that responds and recognises the voice of Jesus. I can't say it more simply or more complexly, that it's a recognition of voice. But the other way that I come to recognise his voice is to remember and to relish his voice. Now, I can no longer hear my mother's voice, but I can hear the things she used to say to me. So I think, gosh, I can hear my mum's voice there. Don't put a milk bottle on the table. I can hear, men can get away with that, Jane. You need to learn to be more gracious. I can hear that voice. I can't hear the tone of her voice. I'm looking forward to hearing that. But I can hear her voice, and you may be able to hear that. But with Jesus, actually, it can come to the point where we actually even know the tone of his voice. We can remember and relish what he has said. And today I want to encourage you to do that. How do I recognise his voice? Because I remember. Remember the things that he said. I really felt I should remind you, Neil, the 5 B's, but also the be ready. So when I was away, one of the things I was praying for, and at the end, since I've come back, was to remind you not to forget that. To remember, if God has said something that is key, whether it's that he loves you, that you're not to be afraid, that he loves your family. Remember those things. And if we remember, choose to remember and relish what he has said and regularly say, would you still think that, Lord? I can guarantee that you will keep hearing the Lord's voice speaking to you and new things as well. Stop long enough. So that moment Pauline asked for people to be able to stop in the city and reflect, I want for all of us to be able to stop. In our lives, Jesus progresses the relationship. It develops over the years, treasured memories that you need to actively remember and relish. That is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, to particularly remember those words that God has spoken to us. This is my body broken for you. Do this in memory of me. This is my blood shed for you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. To remember those most significant of words. There are many other voices, aren't there, that we should be suspicious of and refuse to listen to. Not the voices of the consoler, but the voices of the accuser and the liar that will tell us we're worthless and useless, and that our lives have no future. And those are the voices of the liar. And that is when we are to go back to what Jesus has said to us. You know, I hear from Max Lucado, who I'm reading a bit on Safe in the Shepherd's Arms, that sheep will not lie down unless they're free of fear. In other words, they're getting ready to move. So a test of whether we're really free of fear is whether we're able to relax in the presence of Jesus. And some days we're probably so tense that we can't. But we, if we listen to the Lord, we'll learn to stop and to rest in the shepherd's arms. I mean literally in his arms. Shepherding is a metaphor for taking sheep out of the fold. It's not for staying in the fold. We don't become Christians, we don't start following Jesus just to stay safe. I must tell you that. You are probably in a riskier position, a less safe position following Jesus than if you chose not to follow Jesus in a way, although your eternal security is there and secure. We don't thrive in the pen, in the sheepfold. We don't thrive just by being in meetings, but by going into the world. We thrive as Jesus leads us out, as we hear his voice. Sometimes we know the shepherd walks in front, and in the east sometimes the shepherd walks at the side. He does sometimes go behind, not to drive, but to see what is happening with the sheep. He does use his staff, his pole, to comfort and to direct us. He also uses his pole to separate our heavy fleece and to pick off all the ticks and things like that. Jesus literally knows the hairs on our head, the wool on our backs. He knows us so well, he knows us better than anyone. Jesus knows you better than any therapist or any friend, human friend. He knows you so well, and he leads with his voice. Sometimes in a fold, there are different flocks together, as in the world. You're walking up the road to the tube, Mile End Tube, in the morning. There's all these people, these youngsters eating their toast, not dried their hair, slopping along in their pumps, and then there's the smart ones in their shoes. There's Katie going up behind them on your bike. I mean, in that crowd, if Jesus called out, his sheep would know his voice, and there would be a separation. But we're all there together. We're all in the mix. When you go to work tomorrow, we're all in the mix, but we're listening for that voice. There is a separation when we hear it. There's sound advice. There's no need to fear if we follow the shepherd. And it is scary. You sit on a tube and you're looking. Is there a bucket? Is there a bag? Is there a whatever? So today, we ask ourselves, are we hearing Jesus? Or are we essentially ignoring his voice? And not to give Jesus time. You say, you're giving me a guilt trip. No, I'm saying you're missing out. Not to give Jesus time is daft, isn't it? It's like having £2,000 in the bank and living on 50p, you know, in many ways, if I can put it that bluntly. Do you remember what he sounds like? What he last said to you?
Lovingly.
Yeah, that's Yes, he does, but he also speaks the truth to us, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He consoles us, and if we are listening to Jesus, without a doubt, we will be more loving to one another. But each of us answers the question, not for the person sitting next to us. We need to answer it ourselves. What has he said to me last? And Jesus is often on the move. So when we're not resting with Jesus, and we need to do that, we need to be following. And he does, when we stray, call us back to him. When we're in danger. So how well do we know Jesus? Do we take the time to listen? Or do we just think? You see, thinking is not the same as listening to Jesus. God does speak through our minds, but he also speaks to our hearts. So just doing a Bible study, reading the notes and reading the prayer at the end is good, It's a start, but it's not the same as stopping and listening and asking Jesus to speak to us personally. It needs to go beyond that. Sometimes when God can't get our attention, we were saying at our leaders' meeting yesterday that he will speak to us in the night, sometimes through pain. And many of us have had that experience in recent months, that it's actually in pain, whether we're lying in a hospital or in our bed at home or sitting in a chair, that actually we have the time, C.S. Lewis called it God's megaphone, to stop and to think. And difficulty can bring us closer to God rather than further away. So Samuel in the temple as a boy didn't know, what's that voice? He thought it was Eli calling out, come and help me, come and help me. And it was God. So we do have to learn. We need to create space and stillness. Here's the test. Can we rest and hear the voice of Jesus? Can we create the space, the silence? Mother Teresa of Calcutta, an urban saint, said, we need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. The essential thing is not what we say, but what God says to us and through us. Now, if you can find God in the poverty and the filth and the noise of Calcutta, I guess you can find God anywhere, because London does become one of the smallest of megacities. Jesus wants this. That's the best I can say, to take time to listen to what he's already saying and has already said. And we will miss out individually and as a people if we don't understand this. The shepherd in the East didn't just protect and care for their flock. Do you know what they did? They played with their sheep as well. They had times of enjoyment. So when was the last time you heard Jesus calling you out to play? The shepherds, apparently, according to Keller, would often, even in Africa, run ahead of the sheep and pretend to desert them. And the sheep would belt after the shepherd and gather round, jumping and frisking and enjoying the presence of the shepherd. So when was the last time that you really enjoyed being in the presence of Jesus? It might be on your own somewhere. It might be with loads of people in a worship service. I don't know. How eager are we to be with the shepherd? My sheep know my voice. They will not follow another. Let's just be still. We're not going to take questions, but what we are going to do is just to be still. And if anybody believes that God has given them something, a word of encouragement to share, then please do that, or a scripture. But let's, if we can, just relax in God's presence. Just be still with the shepherd. We are the flock. Sense him moving amongst us.